Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I'm glad you joined me today as we are exploring the aspects of what it means to glorify God with our soul. And we're on the general subject of worship, because Jesus said, as it's recorded in the Gospel of John, the 4th chapter, when he spoke to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, that the Father was seeking those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. And as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were looking at the concept, the definition of the word soul, and there are various meanings for this word. The word soul is used in various ways, even in Scripture, one being the definition or defining concept of the total being of an individual, a living entity, a person's total self. Remember in Genesis, God breathed the breath of life into Adam, and he became a living soul. And we speak of Jesus saving our soul. Of course, he's referring to the total aspect, our body, soul, and spirit. The body is the last to experience its glorification, its final redemption, when we will be with the Lord. But also, it refers to man's moral or emotional nature. And the scriptures that I'll be sharing following will show these distinctions. So let's learn about some general observations that scripture makes about the soul. First of all, we are made, our soul is made in the image of God. In Genesis 1:27, the word says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And also in verse 7 of chapter 2, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So our soul is made in the image of God. In Matthew, the 26th chapter, verse 38, he addressed that part of his being as a man. He said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." And in Leviticus 26:11, God's word says, "And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you." This is reference to God's soul. Isaiah 42:1, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him," referring to Jesus. And in Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter, verse 41, Jeremiah was praying, and this is the Lord's answer to him, "Yea, I will rejoice over them to do good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul." So our soul is made in the image of God. Also, we know from Scripture that the soul is immortal. It will live forever. And as I'm fond of saying, we get to choose where we live, that immortal soul, heaven or hell, with the Lord or with his enemies. Matthew 10:28 says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." That's 1 Corinthians 15:54. And the soul is precious. I was thinking of that scripture, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. But there's a scripture also in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 26, that says, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So the soul is in the image of God. It is precious. It is eternal. And we see also in the scriptures the soul in distress. We can perhaps readily relate to that. That's why the Psalms are so comforting to us. Psalm 119:28 says, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." Psalm 88:3 says, "For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto death." Psalm 143:3 says, "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead." Now you've heard, and of course probably I trust have personally experienced, that the Psalms especially are a great source of comfort and blessing, as well as an encouragement to read. Did you ever think about why? Well, the situations that are expressed by David, by the psalmist, are common to our own human experience. The circumstances that David went through, even though not exactly what we would go through, the emotional responses parallel our own. We can identify with his troubles, and also we can see the remedy, the solution, the way of escape that God provides to us in the battles and temptations that we go through. We're not only shown the problems, but what we can do about them, what we should do, how we should be. And as I've examined the many scriptures referring to the soul, the Holy Spirit quickened to my heart some general themes or patterns of thought that I'd like to share with you. And there are five godly attitudes that we'll be looking at. And these attitudes, of course, refer to the soul of God's people, God's saints, God's righteous flock. And as far as the attitudes of the soul, the first one I'd like to share with you is a longing for God. That's a reaching out unto the Lord. And of course, that is contained in that first and greatest commandment that Jesus declared in Matthew 22:37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." And in exquisite poetic metaphors, especially in the Psalms, there are beautiful descriptions describing the longing of a soul after God. "They that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth." And the Hebrew way of speaking about the inner man or spirit involved the total being of a man, the threefold division of man, which is body, soul, and spirit. And so the Hebrew way of worshiping in spirit basically involves all three of them, the body, the mind, and most importantly, of course, the heart. And praise comes with understanding or instruction. Did you know that scriptural? Because Psalm 119:7 says, "I will praise thee with a brightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments." And Psalm 119:171 says, "My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes." All right, so let's get a little technical now, and we're going to look at a definition of the soul and the spirit. The soul is the immaterial essence, animating principle, or actuating cause of an individual life. Secondly, this is from Webster, the spiritual principle embodied in human beings. Thirdly, a person's total self. Fourthly, a man's moral or emotional nature, spiritual or emotional force. And the word, and of course, the soul basically is the seat of emotions and will and desires. Now, the spirit is literally, from the Latin spiritus, it means breath, literally. It's an animating or vital principle held to give life to physical organisms. Remember that scripture I shared with you? The Lord God breathed into Adam the breath of life. He became a living soul. And also it's the immaterial, intelligent, or sentient part of a person. Psalm 42, 1 and 2 says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, again, this is expressing the longing after the Lord, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And Psalm 84 and 2, another beautiful description, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Have you ever been deprived of fellowship in God's house? I remember there was a time I was visiting family back in Michigan, and I hadn't been, you know, there was a loved one that was sick, and I thought I just had to get into the house of the Lord. And so I looked up an assembly of God and went to worship. I was desperate for Christian fellowship. And Isaiah 26 and 8, yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. Beautiful expressions of a love and passion for God. And the final scripture I'd like to share with you is found in Isaiah 26 and 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. Praise God. All right, so next week we'll have to continue this, and we'll be looking at prayer and petition to God and the recognition and acknowledgement of God's power. There's a lot more I'd like to be sharing with you. But for now, I must bring this broadcast to a close. And as always, I invite you to write and share your prayer needs. The announcer will give our contact information. And should you choose the convenience of email, please do that. But if you'd like a personal response, I invite you to share your mailing address, never to be shared. Although I will confirm receipt. And of course, I surely will pray. Thank you for joining me. I love you, and thank you for your prayers. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.